to talk tonight about, ask you a question, do you know Jesus? Do you know Him? And I'd like to say this, that if anybody is here that is not saved today, the reason that you're not saved is because you don't know
Him. Amen.
And I think about the people that you love the most. You think about your best friend, the person that you fell in love with, or whatever. The persons that you love the most, you know them best, don't you? And in the same way, we've heard some good testimonies over the last few nights, and some the Lord's brought the word in different ways. And what I've learned about that is those that know the Lord the best love Him the most. And so what I'd like to do today is tonight is to introduce you a little bit more in depth of who Jesus Christ is. He's the greatest of the great. There's nothing that can compare with Him. And I'd like to introduce you to Him tonight, and I'd like for us, those who know the word, the prayer, to pray with us as we share with you the word of God. Let's turn to Matthew, the 16th chapter. I want to start at the 13th verse, and we're going to ask you to read for us. Matthew 16, verse 13.
But he answered and said,
yes,
every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up.
All right.
Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind.
All right.
And if the blind lead the blind, both
shall. All right, that's not really what I want. I want 16 and 13, is that it?
When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi,
yes,
he asked his disciples, saying,
that was a good scripture too, sister. Well, that's all right, go ahead.
Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?
Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?
And they said, some say that
thou art John the Baptist.
Some Elias.
And others Jeremiah.
And Jeremiah,
or one of the prophets.
He saith unto them,
But
whom say ye,
that I am?
And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ,
the Son of the living God.
And Jesus answered and said unto him,
Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah.
For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee,
but my Father which is in heaven.
And I say also unto thee,
that thou art Peter.
And upon this rock I will build my church.
This is what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. I will build my church,
and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. That's good enough. Now, here is a situation here that the Lord got His disciples together. He had traveled some distance around in different villages and whatnot, and He came to a place, and He said, He sat down and He asked His disciples, the ones that knew Him the best, the ones that were around Him the most, He said, who do men say that I am? There was some questions about who this man was. They saw the authority that Jesus had, the teaching that He had. It wasn't something that was the norm. They understood that. They understood that there was something a little bit different about this man, but they didn't quite know who he was. And these are people that brushed up against him. These are people that came, if you will, as Jesus sat by the mountainside or the seaside. These are folks that came and listened to him teach. It would be a church service, much like this, that they sat down and they listened to the teachings of Jesus Christ. But they still didn't know Him. So He asked His disciples, and I believe He knew what the answer was, but He asked His disciples, who do men say that you are? Well, they said, and Peter answered, they said that some of them say that you are Elias, one of the prophets. You're somebody special, but they can't quite put their finger on who you are. They don't quite know you as Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And Jesus said to them, He said, well, who do you say that I am? And that's what I want to ask you today. Who do you say that Jesus Christ is? He said, and Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Let me tell you something. We need to know Jesus by revelation. Not just by something that we learned in Sunday school. Not just something that was passed down to us from our parents, or something that we heard on the street, a tract was handed to us. Whatever, we need to know who Jesus Christ is by revelation. Let me tell you why we need to know that. We need to know that because we're living in a time where we're being challenged about the things of God. And it seems like the enemy is coming against us in a way that he never has come against us before. And if you're not settled and solid about who the Lord is in your own personal life and what He has done for you personally, you will not stand. We're coming across some times. We're in the last days. I want you to know that. We're in a time where the enemy is coming and fighting against us harder than he's ever fought, I believe, in any other generation. And I believe one of the things that we have to understand, Lord, give me a personal relationship with you, not just a personal relationship, but a personal revelation of who you are, that you're the Christ. Now let's say this, there was nothing special about Jesus Christ on the outward appearance. He was just a man like any other man. He was not a beautiful man. He was not somebody that was stately or someone that was handsome or anything like that. The Bible bears that out. And it sort of looked like there was nothing particularly special about him. But there is something here that I want us to get, I believe the Lord wants us to get a hold of. If these individuals knew that there was something special about Jesus and who he was, they didn't quite know who he was, their responsibility was, that their curiosity was raised. So I believe what God wanted, what Jesus wanted them to do is ask a few questions, a few probing questions to really get to know who he is. And I believe that that's what the Lord wants us to do today. Alright? Alright, so he says to Peter, he says, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, the 17th verse. For flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I believe that this is an important scripture here because, first of all, Peter had the revelation by God himself.
Amen.
God gave him the revelation of who Jesus Christ was. Yes. And in the same way, in our daily devotion, in our time that we're alone with Jesus Christ, we're alone in our meditations of the Lord, we need to ask the Lord to open up our understanding a little bit more so that we can have a greater understanding of who He is. Alright, now this is why. He says here in the 18th verse, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What is he talking about here? Upon this rock I will build my church. Peter, some folks say that he's talking about Peter. Yes, we know that Peter, the name Peter is a rock, but this is not what he's talking about. There, the foundation of Christianity is a personal revelation with Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. The reason that the gates of hell cannot prevail against us is because we have been personally, it has been a personal revelation to us. And even when we go through the dark times, like we talked about, like was spoken about last night, even when we go through the difficult times in our lives and we have a personal revelation of who Jesus Christ is, the gates of hell cannot come against us and shake us.
That's right.
It doesn't mean that they're not going to try. It doesn't mean that the devil is not going to come and do everything that he could possibly can to shake us off of our foundation. But when we have a personal revelation, the rock here is the foundation of who you are and whether or not you will be able to stand in the midst of the test. The foundation of that is whether or not you have a true revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Let me tell you, there are some folks, and we're in the throes of it. This here in Honduras, I understand, my first time here. But I understand that there are a lot of changes that have taken place in the last several years. Well, it's the same way in America. The computer, you have the computer here. They have television and movies and whatnot. And what I find in the church there sometimes, I find people questioning whether or not the things that the Church of God teach are really necessary. You have that kind of stuff here? Well, is it necessary? The doctrines that we teach, the things that we do, they're not necessarily something that... Thank you. They're not necessarily something that we... that's necessary anymore. And it just seems like there's so many restrictions. But we don't understand something. Do you realize what doctrine is for? Doctrine is to give us a greater revelation of who Jesus Christ is. The person of Jesus Christ. This is why we want to say it. As you have certain rules in your house. There are certain things that you do and don't do in your home. And you know what that tells me? That tells me what kind of a character you have.
That's right.
All right? So the things that you allow in your home, the things that you allow in your life, tells me a lot about your character. So when you deal, let's just deal with the Ten Commandments here. So we say the doctrine of Jesus Christ and what it all about and the certain restrictions. Doctrine is not restrictions. their boundaries in some kind of, in some ways. So Jesus tells us a little bit about his character when he says, thou shalt have no other God before you. He says, don't take my name in vain. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Any person that allows some, that is a thief, that tells me something about their character, doesn't it? So a person that says it's all right for me to take something that does not belong to me, that person doesn't have a very high moral character, does it? But when you say, you know what, I don't believe, as a Christian, I don't believe in stealing. That tells something about your character as well, doesn't it? All right, so in the same way, when the Lord tells us, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not steal, that tells something about Jesus' character. If you really think about it, it tells you something about who he is. It's not so much that there is a restriction, but he says, listen, I want you to have a relationship with me. And when we go into the New Testament, what do we find? We find that he says, he says, what is the greatest commandment? He says, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, strength. And what is the second?
Love thy neighbor as
thyself. So here's the situation that the Lord gives us. Let's take this. The first thing that he's interested in is getting you to know who God is. Alright? And so how he brings about his commandments and his doctrine is, this is me, this is us. Alright? You, me, all of us. And then this is our neighbor. Our fellow man. Put it here. Fellow man. And so what God is concerned about, as you look at the entire Bibles, it says and the law and the prophet, everything in the law and the prophet is based on those two commandments. Alright? The commandment to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. If you go down the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not covet. It has everything to do with our relationship with God first.
Amen.
Getting to know the character of God. So there are certain things that God doesn't agree with. So when we really understand that and we get down to the very core of it and we see that there are certain things about the Lord Jesus Christ, about God Himself, we understand that all the doctrine in the Bible, modesty, righteousness, sanctification, justification, all of that, if we look at it and we meditate on it in a deep way, we will find that it tells us something about God's character.
Yes.
He's concerned about our relationship with Him. That's why He says, have no other God before me.
Yes.
Don't take my name in vain.
Yes.
I'm concerned about your relationship with me. I want you to know really who I am.
Yes.
Not only am I concerned about your relationship with me, I'm concerned about your relationship with your fellow man.
Yes.
And so your fellow man has to have a relationship with God as well. The Lord wants to have a relationship here as well. So as we look into this, we find that God is not a selfish God. God does not want His people to be selfish people.
Yes.
So what He says, first of all, again, I know I'm being a little bit redundant here, but He says, a relationship here with me, and then a relationship with your fellow man. My rights stop when I begin to encroach on your rights. So I don't have a right to go beyond to do whatever I want to do when it begins to affect you in a negative way. So this is what this is all talking about. So when you really read the Bible and you understand it in the depths that the Lord wants us to understand it, then you'll see that really what this is talking about is, what it is talking about is your relationship with your fellow man and showing us the character of Jesus Christ. All right, does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
All right. So if we can understand that, we can understand the restrictions that people want to say about the church. There's not restrictions. If you knew, when I say this, you, a person goes, dresses any kind of way, do you know that affects other people? It affects, doesn't it? All right, we won't go deep into that, but it has an effect. And when there is a situation where you cover your body, then it has an effect as well, doesn't it? It is something that affects my brother, so therefore, maybe I do have a right to dress any way that I want to, but when it begins to affect my brother in a negative way, then that right ceases.
Yes.
So this is what it's talking about. That tells something about who Jesus Christ is. All right, so are you with me so far?
Yes.
All right. So he says here, and the reason I believe the Lord wants us to get a hold of this is Because upon these revelations, when people began to push, and the enemy begins to push against this, and begins to push against the church, on the revelation that I'm not doing this just because the church has told me to do it, this is not why we do the things that we do. We do the things that we do, at least we should do the things that we do, because it has been revealed to me by the Lord Jesus Christ, by God Himself, that this is pleasing in the eyes of God. So now my relationship with God is number one. It surpasses my relationship with my wife, my relationship with my family. It is far beyond any relationship that I have. So therefore, right here, I do the things that I do. I live the way that I live. I don't go the places that I refrain from going to places that is not conducive to a Christian to go to, because I know that it pleases my Lord.
That's right.
Not because this is what the church demands. And then when I found out, the more I began to understand the character of Jesus Christ, who He is, what He is, what He means to me, what He does, how loving He is, and the reason that He set certain boundaries in place is not because He wants to make us feel bound up, but it's because of to give us freedom. Alright? No man has never lived without laws or a commandment or a doctrine, you might say. In the Garden of Eden, the Lord told them one thing.
Amen.
What did He tell them? Don't eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Yes.
So in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die.
Amen.
Man lived a perfect life until he decided in his own mind that I can determine what's right for me. So when he partook of that fruit, when he disobeyed the commandment, it did not give him more liberty. It brought him into bondage. Let's go a little further here. So, when we have a revelation of who Jesus Christ is, a clear revelation, then we have a greater level of power against the enemy of our souls. All right, let's go to Isaiah, the 53rd verse. 53rd chapter, I'm sorry, first verse.
Who hath believed our report?
Who's believed our report?
And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?
Whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?
For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant.
He shall grow up before him as a tender plant.
And as a root out of a dry ground.
Root out of a dry ground.
He hath no form nor comeliness.
He's talking about the Lord. He has no form or comeliness.
And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men.
Alright, so he's despised and rejected of men.
A man of sorrow.
A man of sorrow.
And acquainted
with grief. So here it's given a physical description of who Jesus Christ was. The man that walked around, the man that asked Peter, "Who do men say that I am?" He was a man just like you and I. Just like we are. And he was a man, you know, one of the things that we have in our society today, they place a value on outward beauty. But outward beauty is fading. Nobody is going to be beautiful forever. Alright, so the most important thing is not to try to make myself beautiful on the outside, but the most important thing is to make myself beautiful on the inside. I believe God could have made him any way that he wanted to. But I believe it was no comeliness about him. He wasn't a beautiful man. And I believe that that's because we today place such a high value on outward beauty that God wanted us to understand that that's not what's important.
Amen.
There was something that was radiating out of Jesus Christ that made him beautiful and that was magnetic, that made people want to draw to him. And he realized that if you and I will lift up Jesus Christ in our lives, make him beautiful on the inside, it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside. I've seen some very beautiful people with some very bad attitudes. And as far as I was concerned, you could not see their outward beauty. But I've seen some people that maybe weren't so beautiful on the outside, but they were beautiful on the inside. And let me say this. You and I, it is imperative that we live a life that lifts lift up Christ to this dark and sinful world.
Yes.
It is very important that you and I make certain that we live in such a way that the folks that are looking on the outside, our neighbors, those that are in the workplaces that we work, they can see Christ in our lives.
Yes.
Because one of the things that is turning people away from the things of God is hypocritical people that are calling themselves Christians.
Amen.
May the Lord help us. I don't believe that we have it here. I don't know any of you. I believe you're saved. But let me say this. Live the life before the world, because that's how they see Jesus Christ in you. Alright? Alright. Let's go a little further. Let's go to Luke, the 4th chapter, 16th verse. I want someone also to get me Acts, the 9th chapter. I'm going to read a little bit there. Luke 4, verse 16.
He came to Nazareth.
Yes.
Where he had been brought up.
All right. Jesus came to Nazareth where he had been brought up.
And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Stood up for to read.
There was delivered unto him.
The book of the prophet
Isaiah.
And when he had opened the book. He found the place where it was written.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me.
To preach the gospel.
To the poor.
He has sent me. To heal the brokenhearted. To preach deliverance.
To the captives.
And recovery of sight
to the blind.
To set at liberty
them that are bruised.
To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book.
And he gave it again to the minister.
And sat down.
And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue
were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them,
This day
is this scripture fulfilled
in your ears.
And all bear him witness.
Gracious word that proceeded out of his mouth.
And they said, Is not this Joseph's son?
Now I want you to get the picture here. It would be as if Jesus was raised in this village here. And he came back home, he had been traveling, and people had heard about him. And we knew that there was something a little bit special about Joseph and Mary's son. We knew that he was a brilliant young boy. I remember when he was a boy, folks would go back, and now he's a grown man, and he's about ready to start his ministry. So he comes back, and he comes in, and it's Sunday morning, he opens the book, he comes to the pulpit here, he opens this book, and he begins to read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted." And as he read the scripture, something different happened that day. It wasn't the same. Have you ever read a scripture over and over and over again, and then all of a sudden you read it one day, and the Lord just opened your understanding and enlightened your eyes about that particular scripture as to what it meant? Well, this is what happened to an entire congregation. He just got up, he read the scripture, and then he went and sat down, let's say on the front row, wherever. He just sat down, and everybody followed him. As he walked away, they followed him because there was something that spoke to the very depths of their soul. There's something different about this man today. What is it? I don't know quite what it is. Do you know the Lord does that in our church services? Generally, every single time that we come together, do you realize that when you are under conviction, if you don't know the Lord today, and there's been this feeling that you had when the preacher preached, or when the songs came and it was time for an altar call and whatnot, do you realize that that is the Lord enlightening and revealing, giving you a greater understanding of where you are and where you stand before Him?
Yes.
And there are sometimes for us, those of us that say that the Lord reveals to us that there is an area in your life that I'm not 100% pleased with. So what I want to do, I want to reveal it to you. I want to open up your understanding, and I want you to understand that I've spoken to your heart about that thing today.
Amen.
This is what happened to them. And all their eyes were fixed on him, and he went and sat down, and I can just see the silence in the room. And he sat there for a minute, and he said, "Today is this scripture fulfilled in your eyes."
Yes.
And they wondered. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" These people didn't know Jesus. They didn't know him as the Messiah. And do you realize that we could be around the church all of our lives?
Amen.
And because it's nothing spectacular, because it's nothing that you would might say on the outward form is beautiful, we don't really see it as being God's true church.
Amen.
We don't really see it as being something for us to embrace and follow through with. It doesn't look anything. It's not comely. It's not beautiful. Oh, yeah, and we've been around it all of our lives. But yet there is something special about the people of God. Yeah. Let me say this. All of us, anywhere we are, if you're saved, you're part of the church of God.
Yes.
You're part of God's people.
Yes.
All right, let's go a little further. Acts the 9th chapter. And I'll probably paraphrase this for the sake of time. But for those that want to read it, you can read down for probably starting at the first verse. But let's read a little bit. We won't read it all. Acts the 9th chapter, starting at the first verse.
Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest.
He went unto the high priest.
And desired of his letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Suddenly there shined
round about him
a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth.
Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?
And he said, Who art thou, Lord?
He said, Who art thou, Lord?
And the Lord said, I am Jesus.
He says, I am Jesus.
Whom thou persecutest.
It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now there's a few points that I want to bring up here. This man was a man that had been around Christians a lot. He was the one that had something to do with Stephen being stoned. A man of authority, a man that could go and get somebody to sign a decree that he can go up and round up all the saints that came to church today and take them and put them in jail. And do you realize, I believe that the Lord, in this scripture, what we find here, he says, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. I believe the Lord dealt with Paul's heart every time he rounded up some saints. He said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. But I believe also that Paul did not realize and understand that when he fought against the church, he was actually fighting against Jesus Christ Himself. So do you realize that the church is the body of Christ? And so we need to have an understanding. Even today, I believe the Lord needs to give us a deeper and a greater revelation of what the church is and what it means to be a part of God's body of people. And I believe that once God gives us a greater revelation, then we won't be so easily shaken in the times that we're in right now.
Amen.
It is something that I had to ask the Lord to give me myself. I was born and raised in the Church of God. I'm a second generation. My parents, neither one of my parents were raised in the church. My father was a Baptist. My mother didn't go to church at all. But then they found the Lord. And they raised their entire family in the church. So I don't know anything else. But I do remember when I was a young boy, I determined in my mind that I wasn't going to live like the saints were going, like the saints live. I was going to be a Christian. I was going to live for the Lord, but I wasn't going to be deep, and I wasn't going to do all of the things and all of these restrictions that the church had on. I just didn't think it was necessary. Even though I was raised like this. And I remember in my first year of college, the Lord got a hold of my heart. I was wanting to be something great in the world. I was wanting to be famous and all this, and I was going to college for that. And the Lord dealt with me. One day I was in my room alone, and the Lord began to talk to me. And He began to say, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. What you're about to do is not going to get you where you want to go. And so the Lord began to deal with me, and as He dealt with me, He convicted my heart. And He showed me what I was doing wasn't right. So I said, Lord, all right. I humbled my heart before the Lord. I'm giving you the quick version here. I humbled my heart before the Lord and I began to really seek Him. I said, all right, Lord. I was one of those individuals that whatever I did, I went all out for it. So if I was going to be a Christian, then I was going to go all out and be a Christian. All right, so the Lord dealt with my heart then. He said, now that you're not going in the direction, all out in the direction that you want to go, go out in, that I want to take you in this direction. My desire was, all right, Lord, give me what I need to go in that direction. So the Lord began to reveal to me what truth was. He began to reveal to me what the church was. He began to talk to me and he says, you know what I'm going to do? Daryl, I'm going to make you a minister at some point in your life. So I began to put forth every effort that I needed to get closer to the Lord. And I began to do that. And as I began to do that, I began to get to know the Lord much better. And I found out, you know what? This is not so bad after all. It looks like it's restrictions, but it's really not restrictions once you get to know the Lord for yourself. It's not something that I don't feel bound up. My life is a life of adventure. I have done a lot of things in my life, and you know what? I'm a very happy man. Have I gone through trials? Have I gone through testings? Has it been some very difficult places in my life? Yes, but you know what? People that are in sin have very difficult places in their lives as well. And I found out that it's much better to go with the Lord through these things, and what the Lord is doing, all He's doing, is making me what He wants me to be. And as He makes me what He wants me to be, I get a little bit closer to Him, and I understand Him a little bit better. I see things a little bit different than I saw them before, and the Lord had to show that to me through personal revelation. But if I close my eyes and I determine I don't want this because I have been prejudiced in a certain way toward the things of God, I don't want to do what the saints do, then I am not going to open my eyes and allow the Lord to reveal anything to me. Lord, help us. All right. Let's go a little further. Philippians 3, verse 7. Someone get us Job 22 and 21.
Philippians 3 and 7.
Yes.
What things were gained to me,
yes,
those I counted lost for Christ.
Oh, what things were gained to me, those I counted lost. Who's talking now?
Oh.
Paul. This is the same man that said, who art thou, Lord? This is the same man that humbled himself before the Lord and got to know Him.
Yeah.
Spent a little time with Him. The Lord gave Paul a personal revelation. Let me tell you why it's important. I think that's extremely important, because that revelation that Paul had of Jesus Christ was the foundation of Paul's experience. And all the things that Paul went through, being stoned, being shipwrecked, being thrown into prison, all the things that he went through, he needed that type of personal revelation of who Jesus Christ was, the foundation of his experience, and he was able to stand against everything that the devil could throw against him.
Yeah.
And do you realize that you and I will be able to stand against everything that the devil throws against us only when the foundation of our experience is a personal revelation of who Jesus Christ is?
Amen.
And the Lord help us read.
Yea, doubtless.
Yea, doubtless.
And I count all things but loss.
I count them all but loss.
For the excellency of the knowledge.
For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord.
For whom I have suffered the loss of all things.
For whom I have suffered the loss of all things.
And do count them but dung.
And do count them but dung.
That I may win Christ.
That I may win Christ.
And be found in Him.
And be found in Him.
Not having mine own righteousness.
But I want my own righteousness.
Which is of the law.
Which is of the law.
But that which is through
the faith of Christ.
The righteousness
which is of God by faith.
That I may know Him.
And this is what His desire was. And this is what my desire is, and this is what I trust your desire is. I want to know Him. Alright? That I may know Him.
And the power of,
the power of His resurrection.
And the fellowship,
of His sufferings.
Being made conformable
unto His death. Alright, so that's good enough. What I want to do, what I want to encourage you today, whoever you are, whether you're saved today, whether you're not saved, the desire is to get you to know, really know who Jesus Christ is.
Amen.
Not just come to church and listen to what the preacher says, listen to the songs and go back home, but to really delve into and to get to know Him. Do you realize that He is the one that lives in your heart, is the very one that created the world?
Amen.
Do you realize that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, when we ask the Spirit of God to come into our heart and life, do you realize that that's the same Spirit that moved upon the water?
Amen.
Do you realize to get to know God, if anybody decided to get to know some famous person, whoever you feel like you are impressed with, You want to get to know this person. And somebody set it up with you. Most of us would go and meet them, wouldn't we? Well, I've got somebody that's even higher than that. You know what? When our president, I know you're having a problem with yours. I'm not really sure which way to go here in Honduras. Which president is the good one and which one is the bad one? But I know in America, anytime the president goes anywhere, hundreds, thousands of people go wherever he is. Because they have a certain level of respect for him. Do you realize that a greater than the president is the one that we're introducing you to tonight? Yes. Jesus Christ. Yes. Greater than the King of Queen of England.
Yes.
Greater than the highest movie star.
Yes.
Best singer.
Yes.
He created them all.
Yes.
May the Lord help us.
Yes.
Alright. Well, let's go to Job 22:21.
Acquaint now thyself with him.
If you get acquainted with the Lord, you know what that'll bring about? Peace.
Peace.
Discomfort in your life? You get to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Brings about peace. What is one way of getting to know someone? What do you do when you get to know someone? You spend a little time with them, don't you? 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes at night, is that enough? No. But the person, you find somebody, you find a young man that is interested in a young woman, you know what he's going to do? He's going to find ways to be around her. Excuses, we call them. Whatever it takes to be around her, he's going to find an excuse. Oh, returning something to her house, or whatever the case may be, he does that, doesn't he? Because he's wanting to get to know her. In the same way, we find excuses to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we want to get to know him. May the Lord help. I want to encourage you to do that tonight.
Thank you.
All right. Finish the scripture.
Thereby good shall come unto thee.
All right. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Acquaint now thyself with them and be at peace. Good's going to come unto you. All right. Jeremiah 9, verse 24.
But let him that glorieth glory in this.
Yes.
That he understandeth and knoweth me.
Yes.
That I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness.
He is the Lord that exercise loving kindness.
Judgment.
Judgment.
And righteousness.
And righteousness.
In the earth.
In the earth.
For in these things I delight.
For in these things I delight. If you're going to glory, glory in that you know him. Do you know the Lord tonight? I want to encourage the saints of God here. Do all that you can, all that you need to do to get to know the Lord a little bit better.
Yeah.
I believe we're coming in some very difficult times. The more I am in a place of ministry, going different places, not only different places around, but right there at home, I realize that I believe we're coming across some places, we're going to come to some places of persecution.
Yeah.
We're going to come to some places that we, if we're not careful, we won't really know which way to go. I don't know. This seems like the right way to go, and I'm not quite sure. Some people can introduce things that make me question things that I once didn't question. Have you ever had that?
Yes.
Maybe you didn't question it at one time. You were very settled and solid in this particular with this particular understanding, and then now all of a sudden you're not quite sure which way to go. I'm not sure if I should go this way or if I should go that way. Do you realize what prevents that from happening? When you have for yourself a personal revelation of who Jesus Christ is. When you understand that without a shadow of a doubt, it's not something that's been passed down to you. It's not something that you just heard the preacher say and you're spitting it out. You're saying the same thing because it's what everybody else says. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is a personal experience. An experience with the Lord Jesus Christ that's for yourself. That'll take you through these difficult times, and I believe all of us are coming to, and I believe the only way for us to go through that is why the scripture says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against us, because upon this rock, upon this foundation of this personal revelation, I'm going to build my church.
Yes.
And the gates of hell will not be able to come against it. This is why even in the difficult times, someone has had a personal revelation of Jesus Christ, who He is, and what He means to them. Even when they get down to the very death's door, you might say. They don't shake.
Amen.
The cost of that revelation. May the Lord help us. I'm moving toward my conclusion here. All right. Let's go to John 4, verse 41. Have it read for us, please.
And many more believed because of his own word.
Yes.
And he said unto the woman.
He said unto the woman.
Now we believe. Not because of thy saying.
Not because of thy saying.
We have heard him ourselves.
We've heard him ourselves.
And know that this is indeed the Christ.
We know that it's the Christ.
The Savior of the world.
The Savior of the world. It's the woman that was at the well. And when she heard about Jesus Christ, you know the first thing that she did? She went and told everybody that she knew. I found a man that knows everything about me. I believe this man is the Christ. And she was a great missionary, wasn't she?
Yes.
And then they came out and they began to listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ himself said. And then they said, you know what? We were coming here because you told us to come. But now we're convinced that this is the Christ. We believe it, not because of what you said, but because we've seen it for ourselves. And this is the kind of revelation I believe the Lord wants every one of us to have here. That we believe it, not because of what you say, not because of what Brother Darrell says, not because of what has been passed down from Sister Saunders or anybody else, Brother Kimball and all the good saints, but I know it because this is what he's shown to me. I've heard his words. I've got this relationship with the Lord. And if you do this, saints, you won't be moved. In the times that we're coming in, I don't know what you're going to face here in Honduras. I don't know what's coming in your life. I don't know what's coming in mine, but I do know this. I do know that we can stand the test if we have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just a personal relationship, but Lord, open up my understanding. Give me a clear revelation of who you are.
Yes.
I believe we'll be able to get through it.
Yes.
I believe we will. I believe that the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. All right? I want us to turn to Acts 17 and 10. And someone get a 2 Peter 3 and 16.
The brother immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night.
Yes.
I went to Berea. Who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews.
Yes.
These were more noble than those in Thessalonica.
They were more noble than those in Thessalonica.
In that they received the word with all readiness
of mind. They received the word with all readiness of mind.
And searched the Scriptures daily.
Searched the Scriptures daily.
Whether those things were so.
Whether those things were so. You know what I tell folks at home? I know I'm their pastor. I say, you know what? You don't have to take anything that I say. You don't have to take my word for it. One of the things that I will try to do every time I don't give my opinion, I search out the Word and I give you the Scripture. I endeavor as best as I can, as the Lord has given me whatever level of understanding, to expound the Scripture and how the Lord has given me that level of understanding. But you still don't have to take my word for it. You know what you can do? What I encourage you to do. What I encourage them to do. Is to go to the Scripture, write down everything I say, listen to it on a CD or cassette, and go back and see if the things that I say are true. This is what the folks in Berea did. They decided that I'm not just going to take a man's word for it. I have confidence in him. I believe he's a man of God, but I want to know for myself.
That's right.
And they realize that sometimes it's going to take time for us to know for ourselves. And so I want to encourage you there. You don't have to take anybody's word for it. You have the Word of God available to you that you can read the Word. And you know, not only do you have the Word of God, but you have the Spirit of God accessible to you. The very Spirit that wrote the Word of God is accessible to you. You have the ability to say, Lord, give me the clarity of understanding, even when you're going through some difficult places in your life. Lord, why am I going through this? You know, I've asked the Lord those things before. I've asked, Lord, I don't understand why I'm going through these things. And Lord, I want you to give me a clarity of understanding. Show me why you're allowing me to go through these things. And you know what? Sometimes the Lord shows me, sometimes He doesn't. But every time He gives me a peace in my spirit and a peace in my soul to say, just keep going. You're on the right track. Just keep going. But I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you just because there are ministers in this congregation. And I want to say you should have confidence in the minister. But you know what the rich Scripture tells? Every one of us, all of us are ministers.
Yes.
You know what the commission tells us? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Who is it talking to? The preachers? No, who is it talking to?
Everyone.
All of us. Our responsibility is to preach the gospel. So it is our responsibility to make certain that we have a grasp of the gospel. And the way for us to have a greater personal revelation of who Jesus Christ is, He revealed Himself in this book. He reveals His character. As we dealt with the character of the things in the doctrine, as you deal with the things in the Scriptures, you begin to understand a little bit more the person of Jesus Christ. How much He loved us enough to come down and be a man just like you and I are. And He goes through the same kind of heartaches, the same kind of trials. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Do you realize that whatever temptation you're going through right now, Jesus went through it? Sometimes it's almost, I can't believe it. It's difficult for us to grasp, but Jesus went through, He said it was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. So you know why He went through those? He went through those because He wanted to show you, I love you. And if I can go through them, I'm going to give you the same kind of a grace and power that was available to me is available to you. Amen. He says, I'm not going to have an unfair advantage. All right, I know He was divine. But it says, as we read in the third chapter of Philippians, He emptied Himself out. And He became as nothing, just like you and I, so that He can go through the same kind of trials like us with the same kind of a grace and the Spirit of God in Him. The same Spirit that's in Him can be in you and I. Yeah. So the same level of victory that Jesus Christ had must be in His church. Yes. Alright, so this tells us something else about Him, that He was willing to come from a level in heaven and condescend down not just to be on equal to us, but to be our servant. And as He's our servant, He gives us the same thing that He had to go through His trials and tests. It's the same thing that you and I have to go through. Isn't that wonderful? So do we have any excuse to fail? No.
No.
No, we don't. All right, let's go to 2 Peter 3, verse 16. We're almost done. 16 through 18. 2 Peter 3, 16 through 18.
As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood.
Hard to be understood.
Which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction.
Yes.
Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness.
Don't fall from your steadfastness. You know that there'll be people that'll come in with something different. You know the Scripture tells us to test the Spirit? You know, as I say to you, you don't have to take anything that I say. I want you to test it. I want you to see if it's right. I challenge you to do it. And I challenge you to do it for every person that comes in and says something. Because there are going to be some folks that wrest the Scripture. They twist it in a way that is not right. And it can lead you astray. Alright? But with a personal understanding and a personal revelation that grows and continues, we won't be led astray with this. Continue reading, please.
But grow in grace.
Grow in grace.
And in the knowledge of our Lord.
And in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Alright?
To Him be glory both now and forever.
Alright, grow in grace. Do you realize that sometimes we know some things, and I believe that this is what sometimes discourages people. The Scripture says grow in grace. There are going to be some things that some people, that we're going to have to give some people some room to grow. It may be that you've been saved for a very long time. There are certain things that you can do, and you can do it just like that, and you feel like the person that just comes down to an altar of prayer, even though they may have been raised in the church, there are going to be some time that you're going to have to give them some growth, a growth period. And maybe they're not living up to what you feel like they should. But don't be their God. Don't be their Holy Ghost. Give them time to grow. Sometimes the folks don't have the grace to do the things that you believe that they ought to be able to do. And they ought to be able to do it just like this. You know better. You shouldn't be doing it like that. And you know what you're supposed to be doing. Let us be careful about that. Because what has to happen is that individual has to come to a place of growing in grace. Sometimes we don't have the grace to do what we know we should do. So the Lord gives us a space of time. And He gives us a space of time to grow there. Just like a small child is 4 years old, we don't expect them to be able to carry the same weight that a person that's 10 or 14 can carry, do we? But when they grow up to that particular level, we expect them to do a little bit more, don't we? Well, in the same way, it is no different in the spiritual things. A person can have a lot of knowledge but not have the grace in order to do it. And I believe that this is where a lot of folks have fallen, because they, well, I can't do what you're doing, Brother So-and-so. Brother Darrell, that's just too hard for me. Well, all right, I'm going to say I'm going to give you time to do it, but don't walk behind your understanding. Don't walk behind it. Always be looking forward and not backward. As long as you're looking forward, the Lord will give you a little space of time to come and grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right, last scripture. Matthew 7:21. We want to know the Lord, don't we? But you know what? We also want the Lord to know us.
Not everyone that saith unto
me, everyone that saith unto
Lord,
me,
Lord,
Lord, Lord,
shall enter into the kingdom of heaven.
The kingdom of heaven.
But he that doeth the will of
these
my
are folks that felt like they were doing the will of the Lord. At some point they got twisted, deceived in some kind of a way. He said, but not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven.
Read. Many will say to me in that day,
many will say to me in that
Lord,
day,
Lord, have we not prophesied,
Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?
In thy name have cast out devils.
In thy name have cast out devils.
And in thy name done many wonderful
works. And in thy name done many wonderful works.
And then will I profess,
then will I profess unto them,
knew you,
I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So not only do we want to know the Lord, but we want the Lord to know us. And I believe there is no way that the Lord cannot know us if we spend a whole lot of time with Him. On the job, in the home, in meditation, in our private devotion, spend some time with the Lord. Get to know Him. Think about the people that you love the most. They're people that you know best. And in the same way, as you get to know the Lord, you'll love Him even more. May the Lord help us. Pray for me.